is a heavy and vulnerable conversation to have. This platform is a safe place for all individuals to come share their life's journeys of surviving grief without judgment.
My name is Tiffany Ware. I'd like to welcome you all to the QT Surviving Grief Podcast. I am here with a... this is going to be a first timer for me. I'm so excited. I met this lady in school. We went to high school. Actually, me and her brother, we graduated together. So we were kind of in the same circle, class of 2004 CHS. And I met her and have known her through him and just our time in school together. And I say this is the first time for me because I'm super excited. I have an author on my podcast today, and I'm like all over the moon about it. Never had an author. This is my first author. And so I would like to present to some, introduce to others, Mrs. Laretha Beatty.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. And this is a first for me too. So I'm excited. My first book, first new beginning. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Laretha. I was telling you earlier, I just really appreciate it. This book has worked wonders, I know, in my life and can for others as well. And so we're going to get in some questions about the book, life, just a lot of stuff, God. We have a whole list we're going to kind of cover today. But I do want to start it off. I always like one thing, Quinn, he's really, you knew Quinn too. Crazy, crazy guy, always silly, always laughing. So I do like to start off our conversation just with a little bit of an icebreaker. So okay. I know you are a hairstylist, and I want to know, what is your favorite hairstyle to do?
I think, and I think most people might know this, my favorite is a sew-in. I like weaves, but I have two kind of, because I do sew-ins and locks. That's my two main things that I love to do, but sew-in would be number one.
Gotcha. Yeah. And sew-ins, I used to get them all the time before I went natural, but I like them because it's such a protective style and it really helps your hair grow.
It could. Yeah, it just depends. You got to take care of your hair, but yeah.
That's true. You got to take care of your
hair.
That's so true.
And your hair is pretty like that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a journey. I tell you, but I appreciate that. Thank you. But yeah, I just like starting it off. It's a little fact a lot of people may and may not know. So I wanted to plug that. We'll talk about that more too once we get on into it. Okay. But I want to just open up, Laretha, with you just letting the people know, you know, who is Laretha Beatty? What, you know, your background, where you're from, identity, whatever you want to share with us so we can let them know who you are.
I am a 40-year-old mother of four. I'm a wife. Most importantly, I am a woman learning to walk in my purpose. For me, that has been my main focus within the last year of life. So, hairstylist, like you said, a realtor. I wrote my first book, started therapy, and you know, that's how that kind of started. But, most importantly, I'm a walking in my purpose.
Awesome. I like that. I like how you, we're going to talk about the therapy thing too, because I didn't even know that. I like how you touched on all of that. That's nice. And it's kind of a lot of the background to the book. I feel everything you just said is kind of wrapped into this book. So speaking of the book, what inspired you to write The Last Boom?
This incredible book. So for years, I just felt, you know, kind of a void with my mother passing. So there's different stages of grief. There's different cycles, and you can be in anyone at any time and just continue. So I was just tired of feeling how I was feeling. So one day I was just sitting there, and really was like, I'm a God-fearing person, but I don't know if it was God or what it was, but it was just like, write down how you feel. So I started, but then I went to therapy, and I was anti-therapy. I just didn't feel like it helps people. But she told me, she was like, well, why don't you write it down? So that was my second confirmation. So from there, I just started writing, and it turned into not just writing my thoughts, but I was like, I'm just going to turn this into a book. And so I literally just started writing and then wrote the book.
Awesome. Yeah. I didn't even The therapy thing. So did you go to therapy as an adult, pretty much?
As an adult, I'm 40 and I didn't go to therapy until I was 38.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, okay, so then speaking of that, so for anybody who is interested in, you know, becoming an author and writing a book, can you tell us a little bit about what is that process like? You started out with writing, just probably like journaling, but then what does it look like to go through that process of getting your thoughts out, getting it published, and now you have, it's on Amazon?
I'm going to tell you, so it is a lot easier than a lot, you know, than a lot of people might think. For me, I started researching different publishers and stuff like that. So there's kind of two ways. You could self-publish or you could try to go, you know, be published by a company. But I chose to start off just self-publishing because for me and my journey, it wasn't about the money. It was more of the message and, you know, helping people. So it's really easy to self-publish through Amazon. All you do is the process. You apply, you submit, and I mean, it's free of charge. They charge you absolutely nothing. So
Wow. Yeah.
Now they take a percentage. It just depends on, you know, which route you want to go. But it was it was fairly easier than I thought it would be.
Okay. So that's good information.
Yeah.
Because that's really good information. You just always think of, you know, like, oh my God, it sounds like such a like daunting task, but the steps, how you just broke it down. I think that anybody who's aspiring to do something like that, that's awesome. Yeah.
And I'm working on getting them in Barnes and Nobles and Books a Millions. And that process is a little different. It's basically just an application. And then, you know, they'll approve you or not, but It's really not too hard. If you commit it, you just do the application, submit, and it can happen.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing it with us. I think it's really, really good info. And so, getting on into the book a little bit. I know in a lot of the, I guess the beginning of the book, you know, people dedicate books to, you know, certain people. And I did notice that you dedicated this book to your mom, Valerie Lane Oden Duke. And then also to Camera Harris, which I know her as Cam.
Right.
I remember him being like, it's Cam, my cousin. and so I know you kind of dedicated it to them. Can you tell us a little bit about them? We want to honor their memory in this moment.
Sure, absolutely. So, of course, Valerie was my mother. She was a great person. Unfortunately, you know, she passed at a young age, but me and my brother loved her to death. She was from Colombia. Her and my dad were married for some years. You know, they were divorced, but yeah, that was my mom. And then Cam, I'm pretty sure a lot of people may know her, but she was a very outgoing, beautiful person. She was taken too soon as well, both due to domestic violence. And, you know, so that was definitely why I wanted to dedicate the book to both of them because, you know, different circumstances, but they both left prematurely due to the hands of someone else.
Right. Yeah. And Cam was such a sweet girl.
She was a beautiful person.
Few classes together. Yeah, she was so sweet. And thanks for sharing a little bit about your mom.
You
look just like her. I mean, you're her twin.
Thank you. I think my brother looks more like her. I always tell him that.
Y'all are a twin for sure. Okay, so getting on into the book. So chapter one of the book, we get into really your first experience with, I'm assuming this is your first experience with death. We kind of roll right into it. And one thing, let me say this first. We want people to get the book. So we just going to tap into some questions about the book. We don't want to give too much away. One thing I really took away from chapter one was the fact of how your mother was a protector. You know, she really did protect you guys. During those early years, what do you remember about her most?
And, you know, a part of my grief is I have what's called repressed memory. And I learned this from going to therapy. So for me, I was kind of the absent. I dealt with grief absent kind of. So I just pushed it under the rug and I tried to forget everything. So my memories of my mom, the only thing I can remember is that night. And then writing actually started bringing some things back. But because of that repressed memory, that's really all I can remember.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yep.
Repent. That's a new term for me. I'm about to check into that.
Definitely.
Repressed memory. Okay.
And it's basically, you know, where you went through such a traumatic experience where you try to forget. So
yeah.
Basically your brain is powerful. So if you you're forgetting things. So even to this day, like my memory is kind of bad. And my therapist stated because of my repressed memory.
Memory, yeah.
Yeah.
I can agree. I've never been at the point of feeling like I'm like losing my mind or my memory, but I'm going through that now, and it's scary. And when you think about your brain, I mean, your brain is a muscle, and it's you know, kind of like how you were saying earlier, you know, you wouldn't really know therapy person, but finally went. And it's like, we go get our, if we break our arm, we go to the doctor. If we have a headache, we go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it when it comes to our emotions, you know, we don't go visit somebody who can help us? So thank you for sharing that and sharing that repressed memory. I'm about to check into that term. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It. So speaking of that, my question was, how did you really process her death and her manner of death as at that young of an age? Do you remember how you even processed it after it took place, the days, the weeks after?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think that I fully processed it until I was an adult. Okay. I think my childhood, I was just living and, you know, going with the motions.
Yeah,
I don't think I really processed it at all up until I got therapy. You know, I started learning about grief and ways to deal with it. I think that's when I processed, you know, everything as a whole.
Yeah. And I'm sure as a child, I mean, you know, we need guidance as adults now, you know, nowadays. But as a kid, you really don't have, even talking to my mama, her mother died on her fifth birthday, and talking to her as a child, her and her brothers, they, you know, you don't get to speak up and say what you want. So it's like you said, you just kind of go with the flow. And stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think too, and this is not to down, you know, my dad or my stepmom, anything, because they did what they could do. I think... It's the Black community. We don't seek out therapy for kids as much as we should. That's and I think any kid who goes through something like that should definitely get in counseling and get in therapy.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's something we talked about in my last podcast. So speaking of that, that's a good segue. Of course, you and your brother, I mean, y'all's life changed at that point. And y'all's world, I'm sure, was just turned completely upside down. What would you say to anyone who becomes a caregiver to young children who has experienced any type of trauma, you know, whether it was similar to what you guys went through or any type of trauma? What would you say to those caregivers?
I would say be patient with them. Know that any outbursts or, you know, if they're having trouble at school or whatever, it's everything has changed for them too. So they're adjusting as well. And then also their loved one, like, you know, if it's someone that passed, take them to the grave, you know, try to keep the memory alive instead of, you know, we'll sweep stuff under the rug. And sometimes that does more harm than helping the kids. So I think just being patient and just try to understand what they're going through.
Yeah. That's a good point. I go to daycare centers and help them with different things. Mm-hmm. And that'd be a lot of the like behaviors we see. And I always tell people, you know, it's kind of like that Oprah Winfrey and Bruce Perry book. You know, people will be like, what's wrong with that child? But you know, it's like, no, what happened to that child? You know, you don't know, you know, they're having these behaviors. It's a reason why.
Exactly.
It's like when we think about that trauma tree, it's a diagram where it talks about all this stuff that's like on the branches of the tree, but nobody's looking at the roots of what, you know, what the true issue is. So that makes
sense. Yeah. And I think people, you know, kids handle grief differently. And like you said, acting out could just be, they don't know how to handle it. They don't know any other way. So I think being patient is a great thing.
So then speaking, I know you kind of about your dad, on into the book, we kind of get into, you know, what your father's role looked like after your mother transitioned. What would you say to any father who's raising specifically a little girl? Because I'm talking to you. You know, what would you say to them, especially like that relationship, like how that can influence relationships they have later in life? Mm-hmm. Any advice on that? Or what could they, even like even them as a caregiver, too, like because it looks different.
Yeah. And my dad, honestly, he was a great person. You know, he worked day and night for me and my brother. I think just providing that companionship, that love for your daughter. If you treat her, you know, the way you're treating her is showing her how any man or any person should treat her. So I always knew what love should look like for my dad because he gave me, you know, unconditional love. Yeah. So definitely. He's definitely the type, you know, I would give my flowers to while he's here, you know. So, but to any father, just be there for your daughter. Just be there. If she's going through something, you know, it's best to, and like I said, I think therapy too. And he didn't do it, but
yeah,
I think family therapy, you know, both of them going to therapy would definitely be a great thing too. Because everybody lives change, not just the kids, but also, you know, the parents. So right. I think everybody should go to counseling together.
Yeah. You know, you see that a lot. I used to watch Ilana Van Zandt. No, I just probably butchered her name. But, you know, you see them sessions she do with, you know, people who are older in therapy. But I definitely see what it could be. Just in understanding each other, understanding what is happening, helping process. All of that as a, you know, when you're dealing with younger children and, you know, just everybody being, you know, younger and having to deal with something like that.
Because he was a great father. You know, he had his own struggles in life, but, you know, me and my brother, I think everything, looking back, you know, I feel like everything happens for a reason. But it kind of made him stronger, too, to step up and do what he had to do.
Yeah, I bet. This is a question I got, Laretha, because I was thinking through, you mentioned earlier the stages of grief, and I think we may talk about that a little bit too. I'm sure you had a lot of anger just behind, you know, some of this stuff. What did that look like for you? And even now today, because you just mentioned, you know, we know things happen for a reason. How have you processed that just from then up until now? Like, managed your anger? You know, dealing with what took place.
God, I tell you, my anger, I had more so anger towards God.
Okay.
You know, I was one of those, there can't be a God, because if it is, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Yeah. So I really had anger with God. And, you know, I'm not going to say I was a non-believer, but I was just angry. Like, how could he let something like this happen to a kid if there's a God?
Right.
So I honestly didn't deal with that or get better with that until later in life. You know, I got baptized, and we're going to touch on that, I'm sure. But even after that, I was still in denial because my cycles kind of start all back over.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Me dealing with my anger, I just really put it in my kids, too.
Yeah.
Poured it into my own kids. And I try to protect them. And I think I'm overbearing because of that a lot. But, so dealing with my anger, I poured into my kids. And now I do try to lean in God and trust that everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. I think when you go through something like that, you become very sensitive to everything. And I know for my mama growing up, her life looked way different from mine. So when it came to me, like, it was a lot of stuff I didn't get to go do. I wasn't hanging out at the movies. But it was just that protective, you know, thing. Now I see it, you know, like, you was just trying to protect me from certain things and everything.
Right.
So what you said just really hit home with me thinking about my own relationship. And
Yeah, it can definitely make you overbearing, you know, with your own kids, not having your mother when you were little.
Yeah.
And so I had to deal a lot with that, too, because I think I sheltered them a lot, just thinking something's going to happen to them, like you said. So,
So speaking of that, in those early years, like, you know, so you're a child and we go into teenagehood, did you have anyone that stepped in that role as a mother figure that you would consider a mother figure to you?
Mm-hmm. So my dad was married when my mom passed. So my sister's mom, she definitely took on me and my brother. I mean, mm-hmm. she was a great stepmother, you know, because like I said, you know, he was having his problems. Had it not been for her, we could have been separated. Yeah. Anything, but she took me and my brother on as if we were our own kids, to be honest with you. And so I always thank her for that, but she was definitely the one who stepped up as a mother figure for me at the time when when I lost my mom. And then I had my aunts too, from my dad's side. So
Okay. Yeah. That's a blessing though, especially when, you know, you're treated just as, you know, like your siblings in a situation like this. It's a blessing to have her in your life.
Right. Absolutely.
So this is like a sidebar question, I guess you say. Yeah. So you talk a lot about finding yourself also in those first few chapters. Mm-hmm. When did you discover your talent of being, people call it a hairdresser or a stylist or a beautician? When did you discover that talent? Because I feel like that really, in reading the book, propelled you into the cosmetology world and taking the classes and all of that. What did that look like for you?
So I always, when I was a little girl, like I always loved the dolls, combing their hair, doing their hair, stuff like that. But when I was in high school, I started doing all my friends' hair, doing the micro braids and my hair. You know, we used to wear them high ponytails then. So I was doing all that in high school. So I knew then, like when I was in school, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to college. I'm not taking out ACT because I already know I'm going to hair school. So I knew then that I wanted to do hair.
Did you, I know, I remember when my little baby dolls, because my cousin Travonda was a hairstylist. So I used to be in the shop, like help, I would have audience jobs. And I remember I had got a baby doll, and when I had my little baby doll, I was using them rods and had it in the microwave and pop.
Honey, I remember one day, I'll say her name, I know she won't care, but Quay Watkins from Columbia. I was doing her hair at my dad's house, girl. And this one, I was doing micro braids, and I didn't really know back then, but I had spilled a whole bottle of hair glue on my daddy's brand new table, honey. Oh, he was so mad. That was so funny. But yeah, I knew, like I said, I knew then I was doing hair early.
Yeah, it was good. It just just something that came natural. Okay, we're gonna shift gears a little bit, and I really want to get in, we just talked about kind of finding yourself, really kind of want to get into the relationship aspect of some of the pieces of your book. So the book recounts several relationships that you stated mirrored unresolved pain. I want to know, how did they mirror that pain? Did it come from like the pain of early on, or how did that look for you?
Okay, so for me, I dealt a lot with, you know, I love my mom, she passed. I love my stepmom, her and my dad split. So I kind of, I had a complex where I felt like people I love always leaving me. Okay. So in my relationships, if it didn't work out, you know, or something happened, it just kind of, at the time, I didn't know I had PTSD. So it always kind of took me back to that moment, you know, with my mom and people leaving me, stuff like that. So that is how that kind of just tied into that. It was in me personally. Yeah. And they couldn't even done of nothing, but they didn't know that was a trigger for me.
Right, simple stuff.
If I feel like somebody's leaving me or mistreating me, doing me wrong or anything, that mirrored the pain of that night with my mom.
And for you, it's just, it's like, that's the out. Like, I'm just done. And I don't, you know, people don't even think about the things that really trigger. It's good that you've come, was able during this whole journey to come to a place of recognizing, okay, what triggers me? What, you know, so you could take the steps to, you know, get that part of it figured out, because it's the little stuff.
Yeah. And it took a while. Yeah, people say, you know, arguing or people saying they're going to leave. Loud. Mm-hmm. I named my book The Last Boom because loud noises.
Yeah.
Sent me back. So it was all a learning process, but gotcha. Therapy really helped me learn myself and how mm-hmm. I should deal with my grief.
Gotcha. And so a follow-up question for that is, looking back now, of course, now you're in a healthy marriage. Mm-hmm. What signs should women be on the lookout for that a relationship is not healthy for them? Because that kind of goes into the whole domestic violence conversation.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's the controlling. Okay. If it's he goes everywhere, you go, like, you can't go anywhere without him, and just controlling. If that starts early on, it's just going to lead into mm-hmm. that controlling person. And so for me, that definitely was a red. That's the only type that I've ever really kind of dealt with, is just that controlling mm-hmm. type of person. Yeah. And maybe it could have been me being hurt or just me, but I seem to have attracted that early mm-hmm. on.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think controlling, I was thinking of how sometimes it starts off, a lot of women will think it's cute, you know, oh, he's checking on me, especially when we're younger, like mm-hmm. high school, you know, middle school, because even boys at that age could be a little controlling.
Yeah.
But yep. then you see what it leads to later on in life, and it's like, oh.
It's too much.
Mm-hmm. It's like the groom. You go through the grooming phase.
That's the perfect word for it.
Yeah. And then it's like, next thing you know, it's like, what am I in?
Because mm-hmm. I was never the type, like, I one person I deal with, like, he would want us to wear matching outfits, and I was never that type of person uh-huh. at all. But, you know, hey, I did it. I got through it. But, yeah. Stuff like that.
Sign.
Like, it's too much.
Yeah. Where somebody, like, if it's a girl, teenage girl, let's say, watching this podcast, they might think it's cute, and it might be, but you don't know what this gonna lead. That mm-hmm. you know, you just have to be on the lookout, and I think it's important for women to understand it,
right.
especially nowadays, because we, you know, people meet people so many different ways, and you really mm-hmm. want to make sure what you are in is something that is gonna be healthy, gonna be safe for you, and all of it. So
absolutely.
I wanted to ask you that question. Of course, you speak a lot about domestic violence throughout your book. Mm-hmm. How did you escape the mental hold of your past and really begin that process of, like, confronting that past and letting it go?
And honestly, and I speak highly of therapy because mm-hmm. that was just the main point for me. Because I was at a point where I was like, I'm just tired of this. So mm-hmm. I've tried everything else. I drank a lot. I used to drink a lot. Okay. Like, that was getting to a point of, hey, I cannot keep doing this. Like, something's got to change. So, when I went to therapy and she just told me to write, that was one. Mm-hmm. They tried to give me all these medications. I can speak on that too, but I'm more of a holistic type of person. Like,
gotcha.
I didn't want to take all that and be groggy down uh-huh. all day. Yeah. So, I just had to find other outlets. Writing was definitely one. Getting around positive people
mm-hmm.
okay. was definitely one. Not saying, you know, the people that I wasn't around were not, but surrounding yourself with people who's been through what you've been through, too, that helped me a lot.
Yeah. I think it does make a difference, Loretha, because it's like when you are with a like-minded, you know, mm-hmm. individuals, my therapist was telling me Friday, she was saying, Tiffany, I think it's time that you get around like-minded people, a community. That's what it was. Like a community of people.
Right.
To really help you navigate some things, because we can do this one-on-one and it's cool. But I see where, okay, it may be something else that can benefit you. So let me tell you about this or that.
Right.
So with the therapy, Loretha, I don't even know if I wrote any, like, true therapy questions. That's down. Okay. What are some other journaling sounds like was huge in y'all. It has been big mm-hmm. in the process. Was it anything else that you felt like your therapist recommended that you felt like was beneficial to you?
I'm gonna tell you one, and this was huge for me, and okay. I'm still working on this, but forgiving. forgiving the man that did that to my mom. So that was big. That was huge for me. Because up until 38, every time I heard his name, it was like, I have nothing, you know, nothing good to say.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my husband one day, and he said, so, because I wanted to start my Christianity journey, you know, I wanted to start going to church. And he was like, so, you know, you have to forgive in your heart if you really going to be a true Christian, right? So I sat back and thought about it because I was like, I say it with my mouth, but I don't forget that man.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't.
It's the truth,
So, honestly, I had to forgive him for me and not for him. So that really helped me move forward in my life, like relationships, work, mental, physical, everything. It was just kind of like, it just changed for me once I did that.
Yeah. Just like genuinely forgiving him. That's a big step. That's a mouthful, Loretta, because
But it took me 40 years. I can tell you that it just happened last year. It took me that long because I couldn't do it.
Yeah. And that's real talk. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you said, yeah, I can say I forgive you, but am I really forgiving you? Absolutely not right now.
Right.
So it's a process, I guess, you know, you would say, I'm sure. It's a process.
It's definitely a process. Because it's just something, I mean, honestly, you don't want to do it. Mm-mm. At all. No. But she was telling me, you know, hatred in your heart, that's not hurting anybody but yourself.
Yeah, I've heard that.
At the end. At the end of the day, it's just hurting yourself. That was just leading me to drinking, you know, just doing whatever. So forgiveness really helped me.
Forgiveness helped. Gotcha. Gotcha. I got some more questions for you about forgiveness, but I'm going to hold it for right now. But I want to re-explore that. Because that's powerful, Loretta. It really is. Because that was something I definitely wanted to tap in with you about. That's a powerful statement. So let me ask you this. So how were you able to uncover resilience in your moments of heartbreak? Because I feel like you are a very resilient woman. I mean, you've been through the fire, and now, I mean, just me reading this book is like resilience is all over this, honestly.
Well, thank you. And I think I'm going to say back to forgiveness. Yeah. And I don't want to keep saying that, but
it's
everybody deals with grief in your own way, you know, and I think that you have to learn what type of grief you have too, because there are different types of grief. There's not just one type.
Okay.
So I found out that I had absent grief, where you look at me, I'm all makeup, hair. I look fine on the outside, but on the inside, like, I was crushed. I was just existing, not living. So I think learning that out helped me deal with it a lot, too. So I'm trying to be more vocal, you know, like with my husband, kids, everybody around me. I try to be more vocal about my feelings.
Okay.
That's a big one for me, too. That has helped me overcome a lot. Because I used to just suffer in silence a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
I didn't even realize it was different types. Do you mind sharing the other types of grief? Are you familiar with other? Okay, so you just remember.
I just don't know. Gotcha. But that's definitely something to research. Like,
yes,
you can even ask your therapist about it. Like, different types of grief, because there are different types.
I've never thought about it being different types. Like, we talk about the grief, you know, the stages, but the type, that's a whole nother conversation.
I'm telling you, if you know what type you have, then you'll know what steps you need to take.
That's good. That's really valuable information.
Yeah.
Did not know that. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'll be checking into that. So you're giving me homework right now.
Good.
This is the second point of homework.
It will help you.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So now we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about embracing love and really rewriting your story. Because I feel like throughout this book, it started and I could just see each chapter how the story was starting to transform and really be rewritten. So at a certain point in the book, you did mention, of course, your relationship with God, acknowledging, you know, that God has a great plan for your life. And I want to quote you in the book. I'm sitting here looking at it now. You yep. said, I wanted to be baptized to wash away all the mess and begin again. I wanted peace I had never known. Later on, you went on to say that when I went under, I let myself release everything. Mm-hmm. So my question is, how did you find God in the midst of the pain? And even through that baptism, you know, being baptized, born again, rewriting your life story, you know, how did you get to the point, like I say, of being able to handle that pain?
I think for me, it was releasing my anger towards God. Okay. So okay. It was more of finding, it was finding value in what had happened. And I know that's a hard statement because how okay. can you find anything good out of right. that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. it was, and this is not to, you know, my other side of the family, but mm-hmm. I lived a better life than maybe I would have had I okay. stayed where I was. It was just certain things that, who knows where I would be today had certain things not happened.
I see.
So I kind of tried to look at it as, what value did I get out of it? Because everything, you know, I had went through made me who I am today, mm-hmm. even though it was bad. I mean, sometimes, you know, would you go back and change it? Who's to say my mom wasn't tired of being here or depressed? Who, you know, mm-hmm. right, maybe right. it was her time, yeah. even though it happened. But so who's to say that? So I tried to find value and just not be angry at God anymore. Yeah. And that was something else that really helped me.
That's a powerful statement. Finding value in situations.
In the midst of the turmoil, like, yeah. you know.
That's very powerful. And I think it's kind of like when we, a lot of times, when I'm in the daycares, we talk about reframing. So, you know, oh, little Johnny, he may be having a fit, but oh, the police was at little Johnny's house. We, you know, we're reframing yeah. how we're looking at this situation. Well, this is the why behind it. And right. so what you are saying is kind of like reframing, like, yeah, this was a terrible thing to happen, but you're able to find the other side of it. And like right, you say, because that's something I've really struggled with, people saying, oh, it's so-and-so's time. You know, the situation, you know, what I'm dealing with, what you y'all dealt with, you know, I'm having an issue dealing with that. They time at the hands mm-hmm. of somebody else. They time. Mm-hmm. I ain't, you know, I'm still going.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's difficult when you hear people say that sometimes.
Right.
And so I like how you have really reframed and reshifted your mindset when it comes to that.
Yeah. And see, my mom, she dealt with depression too. So it's kind of mm-hmm. like, you know, yeah. maybe that was what God had intended for her, so she could mm-hmm. escape what she was going through.
Gotcha.
And it's not to say, you know, I didn't want that to happen to my mom.
Of course,
but,
yeah.
You know, yeah. it's just like we have to look at things from another perspective to get through it yeah. sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. So. That's true. That's powerful. It really is. And so, a few sentences down, still quoting yep. the book, you wrote, with my newfound clarity, I realized that the best way to heal was to connect with those who mattered most. You kind of answered that question earlier when thinking through, how did you know who to connect to? Because I'm sure it was a shift maybe in what your friend group may have looked like, or your, even with being in church now, I'm sure you had a church family that mm-hmm. you probably obtained through that relationship building with God. So how did that look? Who did you try to connect more with to help you through your process?
For me, it was my mom's side of the family. So, you know, after that happened, I didn't really see them as much. It was kind of like, you know, gotcha. Non-existent to me, and not to blame them or anything, yeah. but it's just I didn't see them. So mm-hmm. for me, I feel like they're the closest thing I have to my mom. So
yeah.
I wanted to work on building relationships with them. And, you know, gotcha. We're just now in that phase because, you know, we started, we fell off, but now, mm-hmm. like, I just saw them all yesterday. It's kind of like we're all trying to do better as a family. So,
yeah,
for
yeah.
me, it was a genuine connection to my mom.
Gotcha.
That I was seeking or needing in my life that I felt like I didn't mm-hmm. have.
I bet that filled a little bit of a void too, Laretha, maybe having, you know, not being with them a lot. And now it's like you're like pouring back into yourself with them because they're going to carry her spirit, I'm sure, no matter what. So,
yeah. And I can say this, and this will kind of goes back to another question you asked me. Okay. What can you do for kids? If you're taking on kids going somewhere with it, I would say keep them connected with, you know, the other side too, because as I got an adult, I had anger towards all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, y'all felt abandoned, like, you know, but I realized it wasn't like that. You know, everybody has their own lives, and that was their sister, of course. They love me and my brother. So it's just about staying connected and just making sure, you know, communication.
Yeah. And I think it's beautiful that now, you know, I'm sure everybody has gotten older and, you know, y'all have rekindled and really reconnected. Those right. I'm sure it's good for everybody involved.
Right.
Really doing that. So that's amazing. That's good. That's some powerful work for sure. Let's see. So another bar that you dropped was going back to forgiveness. You said forgiveness being a healing power. Can you speak just on how forgiveness helped heal you? You mentioned some of it earlier, but if it's anything more you wanted to expound on with that, I think that's a powerful statement because it's hard to think of forgiveness as being a healing power. I can see it being one of this, like, how do we even get to that point of forgiving when you're so, you know, wrapped up in so much?
Because I think, and I know you can relate to this, I feel like no form of grief is more important than the other. Mm-hmm. But when you lose someone unexpectedly because of someone else,
that's right.
I feel like it hits harder.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely feel like it hits harder. And I feel like it makes you an angry person inside.
Yeah.
And I feel like for me, I had to, like I said earlier, forgive him. And, you know, yesterday, my aunt just recently passed, but we were all together yesterday. Oh, and my grandma, she talked and she said, I had to forgive that man in order to, you know, love myself or love anybody else. And I understood what she was saying because I had been dealing secretly, you know, with the same thing. But just letting it go, like genuinely letting it go in your heart will just make you feel so much better.
Yeah.
So once I did that, like I said, it's just kind of like everything opened up for me. Like the book, I'm here talking to you. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
I could never have a conversation about none of this up until, you know, that point. It was just like something turned for me once I forgave.
Wow. So did that look like, you know, developing a relationship with God, which is something I'm in the process of just figuring out I've always been in church, but it's just like now it's a whole nother level of a relationship I need to get. Did that look like prayer? Of course, it looked like being baptized. Talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Did it look like prayer, the reading meditations or inspirational messages? What did that look like for you, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, I'll tell you. So, okay, in my book, when I talk about getting baptized, at the time I was 21.
Okay.
I got baptized in Mount Vernon in Columbia.
Okay.
Sure did. And
gotcha.
Girl, I went to church probably two more times after that.
Okay.
And I went back in my angry and God again. Like, I went back into that. So I literally, maybe last year is when I started my journey again. And for me, it definitely was reading the Bible, praying, but not just praying. Like, I'm still learning how to pray.
Right.
And I joined church here. I live in Clarksville now. And just joining groups, volunteering, being around other Christian people.
Okay.
Has just really helped my journey. But reading the Bible and actually praying for understanding, that was really something that is helping me. Because I'm still a work in progress right now.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
definitely. But that has helped.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing it. And, you know, also that helps me to understand too, Laretha, that, you know, because I'm currently in a space of, I don't have it to go to church right now. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I've tried, like all last year, I said, women want me to keep going to church. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's where I'm going to get strength from. I went the first Sunday of this year and I haven't been back. Not to say I'm not going back, but you just humanize that for me. And I'm sure other people feel like this too. You know, when you go to church and you hear, you know, God will do it for you and God will heal you. And you know, in my head, I'm thinking, well, why God didn't do that for, you know, us that night, or why? And so then it makes me be like, okay, I don't want to be in church toe up because I don't really, you know, what they're saying to me is not hitting me the way it should. Because typically, before this happened, it would have just been like, okay, yeah, God, you know, is God good? Of course we know that. But I think you just humanized it to make, and it helped me to see, oh, well, you know, because I'm taking a little break, you know, that's normal. It's not, you know, it's a normal feeling to have.
Yeah, it's absolutely normal. And just know that, excuse me, because grief is a cycle that continues. It's not like it ever stops. Like, I feel like it gets easier because you get stronger, but the grief never goes away, ever. Yeah. But you learn to deal with it and you learn yourself, you know. You start forgiving God. You start... There's also a denial stage where, like, no, that ain't, this didn't happen. Like, I can't believe this. You know, you might wake up and, am I dreaming type of thing? And this is just, it'll keep going, like, but it gets better. Yeah. It's just something, you know, just stick with it. Just know your heart. I mean, just God, you know, he don't make mistakes. And I used to hate when people say that. Like, it used to blow my blood. I told you until I started, okay, I'm going to find the value in everything. So that helps.
That helps. That's helpful. That is so helpful, Aretha. Okay, let's go to their strength and vulnerability. What does now, kind of getting a little bit back into the relationship piece and rewriting your story, what did healthy love look like for you now? You know, you've went through everything you went through. Now you're married. For any woman that is listening, like, what does that look like? You know, regaining and actually being in a healthy relationship, healthy marriage now. How do you know that's a healthy situation to be in?
So I'm going to say I'm a work in progress with this one. Definitely a work in process. But I will say, you said vulnerability, and that stuck out to me earlier because me and my husband both, I think we worked because we were both broken. And so now, you know, he knows my worst. I know his worst. But we don't hold that against each other, you know. He knows I'm a little crazy. I know he's crazy. But I think it's being vulnerable and saying, like, because if I don't care if I was having a horrible day. If you saw me and you said, how you doing? I'd be like, I'm good. You know, with you. But I'm learning I'm not okay today. Like, I'm not having a good day. Like, you know, the world is on my shoulders. I'm not feeling it. That, I would never have said that before. Ever. Because, you know, we carry a lot, but sometimes it's okay to not be okay, and I'm learning that.
You being honest with yourself.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, we all need help sometimes.
Yes, we do. But like you said, it's one of the things, I think it's just the cultural thing with us too. I mean, usually it is just, how you doing today? Oh, I'm good. And you go on and you know, you done went through hell and hot water.
Exactly.
Just to walk in Walmart and get some bread, some milk and eggs. But no, that honesty and that vulnerability, that is, that's true. That is so true.
So for me and him, that's something we definitely, you know, put out there. We, you know, because he never would tell me, but we talk more about our mental, and that definitely helps a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure those are good conversations to have. You know, I just think once again, it's just something we don't really think about. You know, you always think about, okay, get a, you know, graduate school, get a good job, start a family, you know, work every day, go to, you like, it's just like the whole mental piece hardly ever comes up, and I think it's starting to now, and people are starting to, we're starting to have more conversations about this topic. So,
I agree, and I think because we're losing more people due to mental, we hear a lot. I think that's just, you know, stems back to we should get more therapy.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So Another thing. So the book is definitely an intimate portrait of you as a woman, of a woman rewriting her story. What advice do you have for any woman or man who's having to rewrite their story right now?
Go for it. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. People might know the old you, and it's mm-hmm. okay that they will have to learn the new you. And yeah. I think that's okay. Just go for it. Like, you're not a captive of your past. Anybody can mm-hmm. change. And mm-hmm. can't nobody hold your past against you. I've done a lot of things I regret, but
yeah.
if I know my flaws, can't nobody hold that against me. I'm okay right. with it.
Yeah.
You know, I yeah. did it, I learned, yeah. mm-hmm. and just keep going.
Yeah, I think, and that's what life is about. It's definitely a learning, you know, process, and we go right. through a lot. Follow-up question to that, it just popped in my head, Aretha. What would you tell your younger self?
My younger self, trust mm-hmm. God, and know that everything is gonna be all right.
Yeah, that's good.
I would trust God, because looking back, I probably done some things that I'd heard in my head, oh, don't do, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, hey, trust God. I was angry, so
yeah.
I didn't listen.
Right Yeah, I think that anger too can sometimes, you know, it presents itself as, it can be a barrier, I feel like, sometimes, Aretha, mm-hmm. because, I mean, even with this podcast, like, I had the idea, but then it's like, you know, a few times I get on here and it's just like, oh, it's such a rough day, or, you know, it's so hard, I don't even know if I can do it today or not, but mm-hmm. it's all because of them strong feelings I'm having and not really handling them appropriately. And then it's like, yeah, you know, like I say, feel, like you talked about, feel your feelings.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know, yeah. That's a really good point. Last question for this little segment. As you've emerged from very dark places in life, mm-hmm. How did you finally know that you had arrived at a sense of, like, peace, self-worth, self-love, and belonging? Like, how did you know, okay, I'm whole now, if that makes sense?
And this will answer your question, but it will. I'm gonna tell you.
Okay.
Oh, I'm gonna answer, how did I know I was doing the right thing?
Okay.
Kind of, that's where I'm gonna go with.
Okay, so, that's right. Sound good.
So, I was sitting here thinking to myself one day, I was like, if I did hair 100%, I would be a great stylist making all this money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if I do real estate good, I'll be, you know, yeah. And I hear a voice in my head that says, I gave you the talent and I gave you the education, but you're not using them for my works. And so I promise you, literally after that, I called a domestic violence shelter up here. And I called and I was like, well, what do y'all need? And she said, we need hair supplies for African-Americans. And she was like, we don't have a lot of space and stuff like that. So I was like, I hung up and I was like, what? Like, so did I do? Like, I'm a stylist, do real estate. Like, that's how I knew domestic violence. Everything that I've went through up until now,
mm-hmm.
even what I'm doing, is just point me in the direction that I'm supposed to be going in. And so
yeah.
I knew it just validated everything I was already feeling. Like, everybody know, like, I can do hair, but it didn't fulfill me. I'll do mm-hmm. hair for a few months, stop, do it again. Uh-huh. It was just a cycle.
Right.
And the same with real estate. So it was like, I wasn't walking in my purpose.
Yeah.
So I know now what I need to be doing, and anything that's not aligned with that, I just don't do it.
Yeah. You mentioned that was, I was actually going to ask you that, like, do you feel like you know what your purpose is now on earth?
Absolutely. I feel like now my purpose is, and I might be answering a question you might ask me, but
no, you're good.
I'm on to start a nonprofit organization for women. I'm actually going to partner with someone else, but we're going to try to open up Safe House for women, and then also offer, like, for single mothers, hairstyling and hair care and stuff like that. So that, I feel like, is my purpose. Like, domestic violence, you know, mm-hmm. my mom has passed, but I'm not going to let her go in vain, especially that's right. in my heart yeah. to do. So that's my purpose now, is focusing on tying everything I've done together.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. That makes so much. And it's, that, I guess that is divine alignment. It's crazy. You call a place and they need exactly what the person you are.
Literally. I promise you. That's what happened. So I was like, what? Like, that's what I got to do. That's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. So yep. speaking of your nonprofit, is that what, is it going to be, is that what Valerie's House is going to be called?
Yep. Valerie's Voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Valerie's Voice. Okay. Valerie's yeah, Voice. I was going to yep. tell you to, yeah, I wanted to learn a little more about this. So I'm glad you,
yes.
you touched on
that's
this.
What it's called. It's going to be called Valerie's Voice.
Okay.
And it's going to be, basically, you know, I'm going to have an event once a year and not only tell my mom's story, but give other mm-hmm. victims or family members of victims. Tell their story, you know, build money for the houses and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's yep. amazing.
I'm excited about that one.
It sounds like you're very purpose driven. And I think that when you go through something as traumatic as, you know, that you went through early on, mm-hmm. I think anybody who goes through, you look at life so different.
Like, absolutely.
It shifts your perspective on so much stuff, you know, instead of just yeah. doing things to be doing them. You really want to be intentional about why God has placed you on this earth.
Right.
And I think you have definitely, you are flowing right in the vein with
thank
that.
You. Yes, ma'am. I'm really trying. Yeah. I'm really trying.
Yeah, yeah. So as we wrap, Laretha, one thing I always like to ask people is, Quinn was into music. So if you could have a song be your life story, what would that song be and why?
And that one is kind of easy for me. I tell my cousin, I said, if something happened to me, like, this is a song I want at my funeral. Like, this okay. is my song. And it's Whitney Houston, I Didn't Know My Own Strength.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And I love the words because it's basically, you know, you might fall, you might tumble, but as long as you don't crumble, just get back up, put the pieces mm-hmm. together, and just keep going. That's all we can do.
Yeah, that's so true. I need to add that one to my one thing somebody suggested to me was to have songs to uplift you. I need to add that one. I'm glad you brought that one up. I have not even thought about that song. But
I love that song. Like, if I'm feeling down or something, uh-huh. I always play that song, and it's just, you know, just confirms it's not the end. You can do it.
Right. Yeah. I think that's been a big piece of this whole thing, you know, dealing with grief has been, how do we move forward? Honestly, you know, moving forward in life and realizing, you know, life doesn't stop. So, right. yeah, you have to keep moving forward. And that's a very empowering song for sure.
Yes,
for
I love it.
Sure.
Love it.
So, before we get into all you got going on, because this you got so much going on, I'm so excited.
Too much.
What are some key takeaways that you want our audience to leave with today? You've dropped so many good gems. Oh my goodness! But what's some key takeaways you want everybody to leave with?
One would be, like I said, my favorite now is it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to need help. It's okay to go to therapy. It's okay to reach out. And most importantly, I feel like you can get through anything. Like, just always try to seek the value and why has this happened. Mm-hmm. Because if not you, then who? Maybe, you know, what they say, God give his strongest, toughest battles to his strongest warrior. So, baby, you got this. True. You can do this.
Yeah. That's good, Laretha. Thank you so much. I am going to ask you, this is a question I didn't have down, but you talk so much about therapy. What do you think, let me see, I want to ask you this therapy question. How do you feel like therapy has benefited you? Because I have a lot of people that'll be, you know, some people are really not against therapy, but they're like, okay, you go talk to somebody then. What do you feel like therapy did for you or is doing currently for you?
It made me realize who I was or it made me understand my thought process a lot too. Mm-hmm. Knowing your diagnosis, because, you know, sometimes therapy is also, you know, with your treatment, they coincide together, you know. So right. I think just knowing my problems helped me understand how to deal with them and deal with life. Because sometimes, you know, being depressed, I didn't want to leave the house, but I got kids. I have to. Like, I have to get up. I have to keep going. And so therapy is just, that's a great question. But what has it done for me? But I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I can answer that.
Okay.
Therapy has kept me here. It has kept me here.
Powerful.
And going.
Powerful.
That's what therapy's done for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
We go, that was an excellent, that is, wow. Yeah. That's
it has kept, Lisa. It has kept me.
Yes, kept you. Yeah. It really, it does. It's facts.
Yeah.
Big old facts.
I'm telling
you. It really does, Laretha.
Yeah.
I always say, you know, people say, you can have God and a therapist.
Yeah.
Because you need that. God put these people here to help us navigate, you know, life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's, it's kept you. I like that. Love it. All right, y'all. So we're going to get into some stuff. I want to first promote the book, The Last Boom.
Yay.
Hope everybody can see it. Mm-hmm. This, as y'all can see, I got my tabs. I done took notes. I got one tab. This book, The One Sound That Changed Everything. This has been amazing. I think I read it. I was so intrigued. I read it in like 2 weeks. I think I texted you and was
Thank
like, I'm going to order the book. When is it going to come in? And I got on it. I think I finished it up during our snow days. So I want to encourage anybody, if you have not got this already, please go get this book. It's life-changing. It is life-changing.
Thank you.
Yeah, so you already told, I think you can find the book on Amazon, anywhere else now?
Right now, just Amazon.
Amazon, okay. Yep. And I will link that in the description of our episode as well. So what else you got going on? Are you still in cosmetology? You still do hair?
I still do hair. I definitely do. You know, I'm in and out, like I said, but I do hair. If anyone wants to book with me, you can get it on styleseat.com/LarethaBeatty. And then I'm definitely still into real estate. I'm looking to help anybody, you know, looking to sell or buy. And like I said, with that, I'm hopefully have a 5-year plan to build my safe houses for domestic violence victims. So that's you know, real estate. But other than that, my nonprofit, look, Valerie's Voice coming soon. So
I love the logo. I love that.
Thank you.
You are going to have to keep me plugged into that, Laretha, because I definitely want to be able to support whatever you got going on. I think your message is so positive. You are so positive. It's just knowing, like, I mean, your strength is amazing. I mean,
it really is.
And I like how you are now, you know, coming up with Valerie's Voice and just, you know, having that as a, like, she will always be remembered no matter what. But that's just like a next level up to, like, okay, this is how we gonna elevate and we gonna really, really, really keep her memory alive for years and years and years to come.
And so same to amazing. You don't realize how doing this podcast is gonna help you out so much.
Thank you.
Keep going.
It's such confirmation. I have so many people say, I don't care what, you keep going, please. It's helping a lot of people.
Keep doing it.
And so it's like confirmation, like we talked about earlier. You know, you know when it's a God thing, for sure.
Amen.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right. Well, I guess that was everything. We're going to put everything in the description box. Any last words?
No, ma'am. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so proud of you. And just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you for coming on. Yep. And I guess we always end the episode. Quinn used to say, all is well. So, we are going to sign out with all is well.
All is well.
Y'all have an amazing week. Thank you so much,
Laretha,
for being on. And we will see you guys in the next episode.
All right. Bye.
Bye. We hope that today's episode has encouraged you and helped to identify strategies to navigate your grief and begin the process of moving forward in life. Grief Tribe, Healing Vibes. What were some key takeaways from today's episode? drop a comment below, and remember to like, follow, and subscribe.